Okay, so we're going to see where we go. And basically, I have two types of comparisons I'm going to want to make. First, there's something that I actually got from somebody else, someone in Israel. His name is Eliyahu Assis. He wrote a book about Joshua. He's quite an expert on Joshua. He's from Bar Ilan University. And he did some very interesting comparisons between the first five chapters of Joshua and parallel scriptures in the five books of Moses, from Exodus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. So that's something that we will take a look at. And also, though, there's some very specific comparisons between verses in the first chapter of Joshua and a few specific verses in Numbers and Deuteronomy, actually in two specific places. So anyway, we're going to do that. Let's start reading, okay? After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' server or attendant, okay? So that's the beginning. We talked about that last week. My servant Moses is dead. Prepare to cross the Jordan together with all this people into the land that I am giving to the children of Israel. Every spot on which you place your foot, I will give to you as I promised Moses. Okay, now I want to stop here for a second. Every place or every spot where you place your foot, I will give to you. Okay, and then he says, as I promised Moses. So let's take a look. Where exactly did he promise that to Moses? So if you go to Deuteronomy 11, right? Deuteronomy 11, verse 24, okay? Deuteronomy 11, verse 24, and we have as follows. We have the exact same words. Every spot which you place your foot will be yours, okay? The difference is that in Joshua, it says, I will give it to you. And in Deuteronomy, it says, it will be yours. But that really, I don't think, is a significant difference. The rest is really the same words. And then it continues in Deuteronomy to set out a bit of the geography, okay? From the wilderness to the Lebanon, from the river, the Euphrates to the Western Sea. And then it goes on to say, no man shall stand up to you. The Lord your God will put the dread and the fear of you over the whole land in which you set foot, as he promised you. Okay, so this is a wonderful, wonderful promise. Now let's look and see exactly what it says here in Joshua. Very similar. Continue in verse 4. From your territory shall extend from the wilderness and the Lebanon to the great river, the river Euphrates, on the east. But then we have now, it goes a little bit further into detail. The whole Hittite country and up to the Mediterranean Sea on the west. No one shall be able to resist you as long as you live. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. So if in Deuteronomy, we have the same exact things. No one will be able to stand up against you. Okay. In Deuteronomy, the focus is on, on your fears. Don't be afraid, because the God will place fear of you upon the nations. Okay. And in Joshua, it basically says, I will be with you in the same way that I was with Moses. Okay. So in a way, I would say that in Deuteronomy here, this is part of the message. And it is actually a message that Moses is giving to the nation, whereas in Joshua, God is giving this message to Joshua, all right? And so Joshua itself, this is part of him becoming the leader. It's God giving him the promises, not just to the nation, to calm the nation down as the nation is entering, but here it's also very important. You can't, a nation, you can calm your nation all you will, and Moses calmed the nation just a few weeks earlier. Okay, but the leader himself has to be calm. And so God here comes and repeats mostly the same things, but he's repeating it to Joshua because he understands that it's Joshua who has to project confidence. And he cannot be fearful, because if he is fearful, no matter what God may have promised the nation a few weeks earlier, okay, it's going to wear off if they're following a leader who himself is fearful. So here we see the importance of that, okay? And then we come to verse 6. Be strong and courageous, for you will apportion the land. You will apportion to this people the land that I swore to their fathers to give to them. Only be strong and courageous, very much so. Okay, be very strong and courageous to observe faithfully all the teaching that my servant Moses enjoined upon you. Do not deviate from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Let not this book of teaching, and here my English says teaching, but the word in Hebrew is Torah, okay? And we know the Torah refers to the five books of Moses. So God is saying, do fulfill everything that's in this Torah. Do not sway from this Torah. Study it. I'm in verse eight now. Let not this Torah move from your lips, but recite it day and night so that you may observe faithfully all that is written in it. Only then will you prosper in your undertakings, and only then will you be successful. I charge you, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So here we have this amazing, amazing pep talk that God is giving to Joshua. And he's saying a couple of things that are very important. He's saying, I will be with you the same way I was with Moses. He's saying, do not move from the Torah. And of course, what is the Torah? The Torah is, as he says in verse 7, that he commanded to Moses. In other words, God gave the Torah to Moses. And now Joshua has it. And in the same way that God was with Moses, he will be with Joshua. And if Joshua in turn continues to be faithful to God's commandments as recorded in the Torah, then God too will ensure that Joshua succeeds. But three different times in this four verses, God says, be strong and courageous. And I think we mentioned last week or in other contexts, we said, you know, if you tell somebody not to be afraid, then you know they're afraid. And in this case, he's saying to him, be strong and courageous. Clearly, he is sensing in Joshua what is really a very, very natural feeling of, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. Joshua is now taking over such an enormous responsibility, and what that must feel like. Now, these words, be strong and courageous, it is not the first time that God is saying these words to Joshua, that Joshua is receiving this message. So let's go back to Deuteronomy, where we find this several times in context of Joshua. So let's look first at Deuteronomy 1, verse 38. And here, this is at the very beginning of Deuteronomy, and Moses is, you know, giving his beginning of his overview, his historical overview. And he says as follows. He starts in verse 37. He's telling them that he has been punished and he's not going to be able to go in to the land. And he says, Joshua, son of Nun, who attends you, he shall enter it. Imbue him with strength, for he shall allot it to Israel. Okay. And this is really actually here, God, Moses is quoting God, because in the verse before he says, Lord also was incensed and he said to me, you shall not enter it. So verse 38 is a continuation of what God has said to Joshua. Joshua, son of Nun, who stands before you, in other words, who serves you, who serves Moses, okay? He will enter and imbue him with strength. He's saying to Moses, you must give Joshua strength, imbue him with strength, okay? So that's the first time we have this idea that in the context of Joshua taking over, he has to be given some kind of strength. In chapter 3, again, we're still in Deuteronomy, chapter 3, verse 28. Here we go. Verse 28. Here again, it is Moses who's recalling a conversation he had with God. And again, in the context of God saying to Moses, you're not going into the land, All right. Then he's quoting God, and he's saying, this is what God said to me. Instruct Joshua and imbue him with strength and courage, for he shall go across at the head of this people. He shall allot to them the land that you may only see. So again, we have God commanding Moses to give over this strength to Joshua. Now, this actual event that is described in Deuteronomy 3 actually reflects an event that happened earlier in Numbers 27, where the actual conversation takes place. And in Numbers 27, starting in verse 15, basically Moses says to God, okay, I'm not be able to lead the people into the land, so you have to appoint a substitute leader. And we have very similar kind of thing in verse 18, where it says, the Lord answered Moses, single out Joshua of Nun, son of Nun, an inspired man, lay your hand above him. And then he says, have him stand before Eleazar the priest. And we actually discussed these verses last time. But one second, we have Kaskabam. So here we don't actually have this idea of strengthening him. Okay, we just have this idea of appointing him. And so what basically in Deuteronomy 3 is filling in what we don't have the details of in Numbers 27, this idea of strengthening him. And finally, at the end of Deuteronomy 31, verse 23. And this is actually when Moses actually and physically hands over the power to Joshua. And he says, he charged Joshua, son of Nun, saying, be strong and courageous, for you shall bring the Israelites into the land that I promised them on oath, and I will be with you. Okay. So this is actually Moses. Moses is had the opportunity before he died to actually say to Joshua, be strong and courageous. But of course, what we have here in chapter one is Joshua himself hearing this message from God. And I think this idea of the echo, the constant echo, what God says to Joshua and what God has said to Moses, and what Moses had said to Joshua, reflecting what God told him to say. I think what we're having here, in the same way we talked about Joshua, who was the server of Moses, and Moses was the servant of God, we have that same idea being passed on here. The message from God to Moses, the message from Moses to Joshua. And now in Joshua, God speaks directly to Joshua and gives him those very same messages. What a reinforcement. Be strong and courageous. There is nothing better no better way, it would seem to me, to enforce this idea that Joshua needs to be strong and courageous, that he has the ability to be strong and courageous because he can rely on God, is for God himself to be saying that to him. And of course, this indicates to us that actually the mantle has passed, because until now, it has been Moses who has transmitted God's messages to Joshua. And here we have God himself speaking directly to Joshua, saying, be strong and courageous. Stick with what I commanded Moses, and then I will be with you the same way I was with Moses. Okay, so that's the first nine verses in the chapter. And now we'll go on. This in-between section in the first chapter is actually it's very practical. It's just two verses. Joshua thereupon gave orders to the officials of the people. The word in Hebrew is shotrim, and the modern Hebrew shotrim is policemen. Okay, so I don't know if they're policemen or if they're officers, but they're definitely leaders of the nation who are in charge of executing the orders. They are not the leaders in the sense they don't come up with the orders. They're not the bosses, but they're the ones who will execute Joshua's orders and will be take a very important role in organizing the nation and getting them ready for battle. Okay, so he's saying this to them, go through the camp and charge the people. Thus, get provisions ready, For in 3 days' time, you are to cross the Jordan in order to enter and possess the land that the Lord your God is giving you as a possession. This is just marvelous, because we just now have the message from God to Joshua to give him the courage and strength, and he's already ready to go. He says, okay, guys, get ready. We're going into the land. But then here, we have a very interesting exchange. From verse 12 to the end of the chapter, it's a whole new story. And it's a very interesting exchange that becomes very critical for Joshua's leadership, okay? Joshua said to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. Now remember, okay, back in Numbers 32, there was an issue where there were two tribes, Reuben and Gad, and they first came to Moses and they said, well, you know, they had just completed the conquest of very fertile land on the eastern side of the Jordan, and they wanted to stay there. And Moses didn't like it at first, okay? And then finally they reached an agreement where Moses said to them, okay, if you guys are going to go forward in battle with your brothers, with the rest of Israel, and you will help them conquer the land, when the land has been completely conquered and everybody is ready to go back and settle their piece of land, that point you can come back here and settle on the east of the Jordan. That will become your land. And it wasn't enough that they join. In Numbers 32, verse 29, Moses said to them, he says, it's going to be okay. He says, if the sons of God, the sons of Reuben, okay, go across the Jordan, and they must be chalutz for war. Chalutz, in modern Hebrew, we translate it as pioneers, okay? Well, what is a pioneer? Sometimes when you talk about pioneer, you're talking about somebody who is going out to tame the wilderness. But pioneer in the sense of chalutz means the forward guard. They're the ones who go first, and which is also a meaning of pioneer, because pioneer also is they're the first ones to get to uncharted territory and they're going to settle it. In this case, though, we're not talking about settling it. They're talking about the forward guard that goes forward in war to conquer the land. So Moses is demanding of them, not just that they join their brothers, but that they lead their brothers, okay, before God, and the land will be captured before you. And then I will give you this land of the Gilead as a possession. And then he says, and continues Moses, and this is from Numbers 32, if you do not go as part of that forward guard, okay, then you will remain in the land of Canaan. Okay, and at that point, the sons of God, the sons of Reuben, says, we agree to this instruction. Later on, half the tribe of Manasseh joins them as well. Now, Manasseh is one of the larger tribes at the time, and they actually have an enormous territory because they have a very big territory. In fact, where I live and where I'm sitting right now, I'm in Manasseh. I'm in the southernmost point of Manasseh, and Manasseh takes up a very significant portion of Samaria, into as well the lower Galilee. But in addition, in biblical times, they had an equally sized territory east of the Jordan. So if you look at those biblical maps of the territories, you'll see they have a huge territory. Reuben and Gad ended up being a bit north of that. So here we have this going on. We have this understanding from Moses that they're supposed to be the forward guard. So Joshua now, and this, I think you see here, a real demonstration of leadership, okay? He's not afraid of the people. God has just told him to be strong and courageous. He immediately gives the order to the officials to get everyone ready. But now he's going to really demonstrate that he has understood and taken on this leadership role. And he says to them, remember what Moses, the servant of the Lord, enjoined upon you when he said, the Lord your God is granting you a haven. He has assigned this territory to you. Let your wives, children, and livestock remain in the land that Moses assigned to you on this side of the Jordan. But every one of your fighting men shall go across armed and help your kinsmen. Okay. And you shall assist them until the Lord has given your kinsmen a haven. In other words, until they have actually also conquered and the land, okay, such as you have, and they too have gained possession of the land that the Lord your God has assigned to them, then you may return to the land on the east side of the Jordan, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, assigned to you as your possession, and you may possess it. This is his first leadership test, because now Moses is no longer, and these 2.5 tribes promised this to Moses, and he is going and telling them, now you owe that to me. But he's invoking Moses. He's saying, you promised it to Moses. Now you're going to have to actually do this. Payback time. Okay. You got your territory, assuming that you were going to do the right thing. But how did they answer Joshua? They answered Joshua, we will do everything you have commanded us. We will go wherever you send us. We will obey you just as we obeyed Moses. Let but the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Any man who flouts your commands and does not obey every order you give him shall be put to death. Only be strong and resolute. And again, be strong and courageous. The very same words, chazak ve'amatz, that Moses had initially said to Joshua, then God in this chapter said to Joshua, now these 2.5 tribes are saying to Joshua as well. But what these 2.5 tribes are actually saying to Moses, they're not saying, be strong and resolute. Don't be afraid of battle. What they're saying is, we need to see that you are going to be the leader that Moses was, that you are going to be the man of faith that Moses was. For as long, in other words, they're basically saying, we made a pledge to Moses, not because he had pretty eyes. We made a pledge to Moses because Moses represented God. And our word to Moses is true and strong, because we are pledged to Moses and we are pledged to God. So he's saying to Joshua, so long as you behave like Moses and obey God's word, okay, we will listen to you in the same way we listen to Moses. Okay. And then he's going further, and they're saying to Moses, what is verse 18 all about? It ends with the be strong and courageous. But what is he saying before that? He's saying, don't let anyone disobey you. You have to prove yourself. You have to make sure you are a leader of this people. Not just don't be afraid of the nations. Don't be afraid of this nation. Don't be afraid to impose what you know is God's will on this nation. So it's not just that Joshua has to be loyal and obedient to God. Joshua has to have the courage and the strength to impose God's word on the nation. And if that works, then he will have the nation with him. And of course, the Reuben and Gad say, we're with you. We're with you in that context. And so I think in a way, on the one hand, you could say that Reuben and Gad are challenging Joshua in a certain degree, but I think they're encouraging Joshua, and they're basically saying, you have the ability. This is going to be your test. Are you a leader? Are you a leader? And I think we will certainly see as we continue to study Joshua, that Joshua was certainly a leader. And in fact, the time period of Joshua, the book itself doesn't cover that many years, maybe 20, maybe a bit more than 20 years. And during this time, Joshua is extremely successful. I mean, they conquer most of the land. The nation settles in the land. And what we don't see in Joshua is the failings, the sins, the idolatry, all these other things that develop in the nation of Israel, starting with the book of Judges and onward. So Joshua must have been doing something right. He clearly had the characteristics of leadership that Reuben and Gad were demanding here. The characteristics of leadership, not only to be loyal to God, but to impart that loyalty as instruction to the nation, and the nation also would then follow his word. That's chapter one. And one more thing I want to mention. This chapter ends, I think, in a very positive way in the relationship between Reuben and Gad. And from now on, we're going to see that Reuben and Gad do a very good job, and they're part, and they go forward. They're part of the forward God, and they're really, we don't see any any sign of discord until the end. Towards the end of the book, we have a little bit of an issue with, once they finish conquering the land and they go back east and they settle there. And we're going to get to this, but I just want to to mention it now, and we'll study it in detail. They are going to build something that is initially interpreted as being an altar. And it is interpreted as by the people on the western side of the land, west of the Jordan, as something that will compete with Shiloh and with which what is going on the western side. And this, of course, is a real potential crisis that leads to a potential of civil war. But at the end, and this is something we're going to see in chapter 22, again, towards the very end, we're going to see that is all resolved. But the Jordan River will continue to split between all the nations of Israel and Reuben, Gad, and that half tribe of Manasseh. That will remain a split, and we're going to see that fissure showing up at different times. So even though here it seems to have resolved itself, there will be this underlying rift that plays out again and again throughout the Bible. Anyway, that's all for today. I hope you enjoyed it. Any questions, you're welcome to turn on your mics and comment, anyone that wants to say anything.
Sandra, we had a question earlier. Wanted to know what you're going to be talking about tomorrow on your Zoom with Australia.
Oh, I haven't planned that one yet. No, I'll tell you the truth. I mean, it is two parts. It's an Israel update and it's a Bible teaching. And, you know, in terms of the Israel update, I never really know what I'm going to talk about. I try to remain as current as possible. There are, thank God, no crises that are going now in Israel. So, you know, I'll just kind of review. I mean, we have some terrorist threats that we're talking about. There's been some issues with Iran on our northern border. There's some issues in other places. But, I'll figure it out and I'll give an update on that. And then I will also be giving a Bible teaching. But again, I haven't planned any of it yet. But I have until noon tomorrow, Israel time. That's a lot of hours. So, you know, it's, you know, 18 hours from now. That's a lot of time to plan it. But yes, you can definitely get a link if you register for tomorrow. And I realize a lot of you, most of you who are on this Zoom, it is not a convenient time. Anyone from North America, it is an impossible time unless you like to get up in the middle of the night. It should be a convenient time for people in the UK. It's going to be 12 noon Israel time, 10 a.m. UK time. And of course, this is really aimed so that our friends in Australia, New Zealand, and Asia can join us, which they are not able to do at the time frame that we do this. But yes, anybody who wants to receive the recording, just register and we'll send you the recording within a day or two of the update. Anyone else?
Just thank
okay.
You.
Well, it's been great seeing you all. See you again next week we're not meeting. Next week and the week after, I will be traveling in the United States. So for the next 2 weeks, we will not be meeting, and we will meet again the first week, the first Monday in November. That will be our next, I guess that's November 1st. Right? Is that right, Kim? Probably. I think it's November 1st.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
November 1st is when we will be meeting again. Until then,
yes, have a great October. Time.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
I hope you enjoyed that video. And we'd like to be sure you're getting all of our video content. So just click on the subscribe button below as well as on the notification bell. And that way you will have easy access to all our material. We look forward to staying in touch with you. God bless you and have a wonderful day.